Here we go. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, New Living Translation. So Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women of the town said to Naomi, "Praise the Lord, who has now provided a redeemer." A what? A redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law. Now listen to this part. Who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons. Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if it were her own. The neighbor women said, "Now at last Naomi has a son again," and they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of Ruth. Grandfather of? David. It's going to be one of those mornings, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway. All right. So the book of Ruth has three redeemers. Good morning, Blam. Boaz, the former redeemer. Now, the word for the former redeemer in the Greek is actually called Goel. And I like that name, so I just thought I'd tell you. Goel. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer, all right, and that's called Goel. All right, so Ruth and Naomi decide it is all or nothing. This from last week, they're just going to put it all on the line. When you go with God, you've just got to go all or nothing. It's no in between. It's like Revelation. Don't be lukewarm. It's a bad place to live. And so the best thing you can ever do is pray, trust God, and go all in. And so when you have a big decision to make in your life, we have those from time to time, right? We do. When you have a big decision to make in your life, give it to God. And then trust Him. Be all in with God and see what He will do for you. It is the wrong question to ask, what is God's will for my life? Are you hearing me this morning? Your life is one of worshiping Him and trusting in Him. And when we do this, the future becomes clear. You'll see how this works out with the whole story of Ruth in a moment. Ruth lays at her kinsman redeemer's feet one night. Ruth was not an Israelite. Ruth was a Moabite, an outcast in a foreign land. Ruth had no real right at all to be there, yet she puts her life on the line. She asked Boaz to cover her with her blanket, which meant, marry me. Ruth had one thing in her life that trumped all other things. And it was what our theme is, the power of relationship. So let's talk about this for a moment, the power of relationship. The second redeemer in the book. Last week we really discussed Boaz and a little bit of Ruth, and this week we're going to talk about the second redeemer most of the time and then the last redeemer, which I'll leave for the end. The second redeemer of the book is Ruth. It's why the book is called Ruth. And the women of the town said to Naomi, chapter 4, verse 15, "For he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons!" Exclamation mark. Why did Ruth go with Naomi? And the truth is, Naomi told Ruth not to follow her. but to go back to her homeland as a Moabitess. And at least in Moab, as Naomi tried quite a few times to explain to Ruth, in Moab, she had fathers, she had mothers, she had standing in the community, and she would have had means. But if you come with me, you will have nothing. And we are told Ruth clings to her. Ruth replied, in fact, if you go to chapter 1 and verse 16, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go." I've put up the wrong verse, have I? 1:16, that is. You can take that down, Dave. It's chapter 1, verse 16. It might have been my fault. "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." And so what Ruth is effectively saying is similar to wedding vows. In fact, some people use this passage for the wedding vows themselves. "I will go wherever you go. I will live wherever you live." Does that sound pretty good? Most people, though, don't go to the next verse. Would you like a little bit more info? "Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." Maybe we should have it in the wedding. Who thinks we should have it in the wedding vows? All the women. No, I do too, actually. But it's never there. Now, "In Hope of a Better Life" is the title. She's an immigrant. Okay. Every immigrant leaves expecting a better life. Who's come here expecting a better life? Come on, give me a wave, including myself. All of us, pretty much. Unless you're a true blue Aussie. Budgie, are you glad you're living in Australia?
Yeah.
Come on. Let's give it up for Louis and Juliet. Yeah. What's it like living in Australia? Awesome. Better than living in... I miss your family, but nice to live here. Did I get that about right? Obviously, we all miss our family. We still love to... Anyway, all right. So, Ruth is saying, "I am coming with you and I expect a worse life." Ruth expects all kinds of upset and trouble, but still she pledges her allegiance to Naomi. "It doesn't matter. I am immigrating and I expect a worse life." Not common. Rare. And I'll take it one step further, unheard of today. And most Christians become Christians and expect a better life. Ruth does not expect a better life at all. Why can Ruth do it? Chapter 1, verse 17, "May the Lord deal with me." And the word God or Lord used in this instance is not the generic name Elohim. Rather, Ruth uses a more intimate name, which is Yahweh, which means Lord. And Ruth is making a baptismal vow. Who knows that the power of baptism is incredibly important? She's making a baptismal vow. May the Lord deal or punish me ever so severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. Now, Ruth would never be doing that unless she had already said, I believe. And because Ruth said, I believe, she knew what she had to do. Her decision was clear, but it was hard. Prosperity in her homeland, wealth and family, or lack of. But her faith would remain and grow because she was with the people of God. Ruth could not stay. Materially, say it slow and I'll get it. Great. Status great. Family great. Faith dead. Ruth, by going to Israel with Naomi, made the decision that her status would be nothing, but her faith would be great. Ruth knew the right thing to do by God. Ruth knew the right thing to do by Naomi. Ruth knows that if Naomi goes back to Israel alone, she will die. But if they both go, if Ruth accompanies Naomi, there is at least some hope. And here is the most important thing and why the book is called Ruth. If Naomi is going to have some kind of life and get her life back, Ruth is going to throw her life away. And that's exactly what Ruth does. Ruth becomes an alien and a stranger to restore Naomi. Better than seven sons. We'll keep on that as we go along. Second, the dynamite of friendship. There is a spiritual dynamite of friendship between Ruth and Naomi. Ruth would have watched Naomi suffer. Don't forget, Naomi's lost what? She's lost her husband and both her sons. She's lost everything that matters in Eastern culture. And Ruth would have watched Naomi suffer in dignity as she lost not only her husband, but also her two sons. Naomi suffered in faith. As a daughter-in-law, you get to know your family. And Ruth wanted the same God as Naomi. It is the indescribable power of relationship. So what changed Ruth's life? Oh, I can tell you one thing, a sermon did not change Ruth's life. A program did not change Ruth's life. A book did not change Ruth's life. A lecture did not change Ruth's life. It was a friendship alone that brought Ruth to faith and to stay in faith. Never underestimate the power of friendship. It has great effect on others. And the truth is, the only way to change anybody's life is through friendship. Not how smart you are, not how gifted you are, not how powerful you are, how influential you are, what status you hold in the society, how many cars you drive, how many toys you've got, if you're a man. Friendship is the only thing. Friends make us grow in the Lord. I can tell you for a fact that my closest friendship is with my wife. And I can assure you when the going gets tough and I have a wobbly moment, she'll pick me up on it and help my faith. That's how it should be. The same has happened for other men in this church. They've come alongside me and said, Nigel, and help me to stay accountable. And I hope I've done the same on occasions for others. Because friendship makes the biggest difference in anybody's life. Not running around trying to change the world. Not doing good things. Time and constancy. Where you go, I go. Where you die, I die. Being present and committed. Being there for somebody over a long period of time. Better than seven sons. It is a synonym for the perfect family. We can see from this story that cultural barriers are broken through the grace of God in a person's life. So who you marry has little importance, what culture they're from, what tribe they're from. Who, however, that person believes in is of far greater significance. Because the grace of God in any relationship is more satisfying, more fulfilling, more transforming than a perfect family. In traditional cultures, as according to the word of God in Eastern culture at this time, sons are much better. Oh, how the world has changed. Sons become men, and men have access to power. But the gospel breaks through all human barriers. Better to you, Naomi, than seven sons is Ruth. If, like in Bible times, you are guided by culture, you will go all out for a perfect family, to have sons, to do everything for the benefit of status, power, wealth for your family. However, when the grace of God comes into your life, you don't need that pattern of culture anymore. You don't need the perfect career. You don't need the perfect body. Thank goodness for that one. You don't need the perfect social calendar. You don't need the perfect school for your kids to go to. You don't need to live in the perfect location. You don't need the perfect wife from good stock, the perfect husband from even better stock. The gospel breaks it all apart. No more condescending nature. You are free in your heart, free in all of your relationships. It is a barrier-breaking grace. You are not hung up with anything. It is the dynamite of friendship. It's the power of relationship on our lives. Is anyone grateful for friendship in the church today? Oh, thank you, Lord. And this was an incredible friendship. Who knows that age is no barrier to friendship? Here's this Moabite woman that only knew Naomi simply because of a relationship. But Ruth saw something. 3rdly, being a disciple. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a disciple. I'm just going to have a glass of water for some reason this morning. Okay. So Ruth says, I don't expect anything, Naomi. Death only can part us. That's pretty... Who'd like a friend like that? We've got one, but that we're getting to that. So Ruth knows that if she's going to make God Lord of her life, there can be no conditions. When Joshua, and this is where I got confused earlier, anyway, when Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing there, and he says to the man, because he's about to go and take on Jericho and fight for their freedom, he says, are you for us or against us? And the man goes, actually, neither. And he said, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. You and I cannot say that we want God in our life, yet at the same time be the master of our own goals. God says to us, I do not come into your life to reach your goals. I'll let you go into my life as my servant. I'm going to come back to that and make another message out of it in a few weeks' time. Is God on my side or not? Don't put your hands up. Who's asked that question? Who's thought that question at the very least? I think we all have, if we're honest with ourselves. Is God on my side or not? It's the wrong question. As soon as you say, I will obey if... I've prayed for people in church that have got what God's given them something and then you've not seen them ever again. It's not what God wants for our life. See, on the other side of if is your reward. And you are going to use God as your servant to get there. And Ruth is saying, it's not about that. All I want is the opportunity to obey. And by the way, Joshua bowed down before his God and said, I am at your command. And just like Ruth, he became God's servant. Whatever it takes, I am yours, Lord. No conditions. Can we say it together, church, and mean it? Whatever it takes, I am yours, Lord. No conditions. Lastly, we're going to finish early this morning. Anyway, lastly, the real Redeemer. So we have Boaz, we have Ruth, and now the real Redeemer. The third Redeemer in this story is the real Redeemer. And I'll repeat the verses that make this whole book come together again. Then the women of the town said to Naomi, praise the Lord who has now provided a Redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in where? Israel, may he restore your youth and care for you in your old age, for he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons. The real Redeemer is the child born in Bethlehem. However, he is very much like Ruth. And like Ruth, he left his throne above, his father, and his status. Like Boaz, he has not only paid your debt, but he unites with you so that all of his wealth becomes yours. Like Boaz, he is your flesh and blood. He came to live with us to be the substitute and mediator. He is the one who left a greater name. He is the one who descended the furthest, and he is the true alien. Jesus Christ did not just say, "I throw my life away so you can have one. Nothing but death will part me from you," like Ruth said. Jesus looked at us and said, "I won't even let death part me from you." I will be parted from my Father. I will die so I won't be separated from you. The greatest friend. And through this four chapters, Ruth is a great friend. Boaz, there's no condemnation. He's a great redeemer. And can I challenge us today to live like Ruth and Boaz? They are pointing you to the real Redeemer, loved and accepted. And by Ruth and Naomi trusting in their God, they brought more wealth and sons than possible. Who knows, God's the great restorer. I'd love us to stand to our feet, and we're going to, in a second, can you just get ready to play the Redeemer, please, team, up the back there. The blessing. I can't get my words out today. By Ruth and Naomi trusting in their God, God restored. How many times do we see that in the Bible? There's something significant about putting our trust in God, regardless of how deep and dark things look for us. And in fact, Isaiah 54, verse 1 actually says it. "Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem. You have never been in labor, for the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord." Can we praise God today? Let's watch a little bit of this blessing song. And if you need to go, we're going to close our service in a moment. But those of you who'd like to stay, we're going to watch this song. But first of all, our life is not what we expected in God. Those of us who have been a Christian quite a while, who knows that it's not what we totally expected? But in giving up, he gives back. He gives back greater. He gives back greater than seven sons. Lord, I thank you for the message that comes through Ruth today and the powerful redemptive process you have for our lives. And help us to be like Boaz and Ruth, of great nature and character, that want to follow you all the days of our lives. People of God said, let's watch this blessing song.